Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the very first edition of the Inch Podcast. This is a regular feature we'll be bringing you here on InsideCollegeHockey.com. For 3 years now, we've been helping waste your time at work with college hockey information. Now we want to try and waste your time on your drive to work or your walk to class, whatever it may be. Anyway, let's bring everybody in here. We've got Joe Gladyshevsky, covers the ECACHL for us, James Jockey, who covers the CCHA, Mike Eidelbus, who's one of our editors, and Jess Myers, who covers the WCHA. I'm Nate Ewell. And let's get right to it, guys. We released our preseason rankings this week, and just curious, why don't we go around and talk a little bit about those. Who did you guys see as the toughest team to rank going into this season, kind of the most uncertain? Joe, why don't you start us off?
Sure, I'll start right there. Just strictly looking at the teams that I see most regularly, specifically Colgate and Harvard had been very successful programs recently, but lost a lot of key personnel to graduation. Colgate obviously has taken the ice already and was very, very impressive on Friday night. Harvard, we're going to have to wait a couple weeks to see what they're made of.
How about out west, Jess? Did things kind of break down all right for you guys? Or, you know, so much success out in the WCHA last year. How does it look going into this season?
Interestingly enough, the two great mysteries on my end, I think, are the two teams that were in the national championship game last year, Denver and North Dakota. Denver, you know, of course, won a title 2 years ago and were picked, I think, sixth by the WCHA coaches in the league the next year. And I guess they won't get fooled again, picking them significantly higher this year. North Dakota is also a mystery with the number of young players they have, but with what their coach did in his first year, you would think he'll be ready to do it again.
Mike, any take on looking at those teams? What do you see? What do you expect?
Well, I think the hardest things for me, and just kind of running down the list, you know, we always kind of have a hard time maybe down in the middle about 20, 21, 22, but for me, I thought one was tough. You know, we ended up naming Minnesota, but I think a lot of that ranking is really on the basis of the young kids that they brought in. And, you know, I mean, Phil Kessel is Phil Kessel. You know, we've all heard about him ad nauseum, mainly from our doing, so we apologize. But, I mean, are we putting too much stock into these guys that Minnesota brings in to be that good right off the bat? You know, you look back at, you know, late February, early March of last year, Minnesota was kind of limping along and then ended up making it to the Frozen Four. The other team that really posed a little bit of a challenge for me, at least, was Cornell. I think if you look at them in comparison to the, you know, the other top five or six teams, they're maybe not as talented, but, you know, they've got a pretty good shot, at least, of if not running the table in the ECACHL, coming pretty close. And just putting together the record, the kind of record that they're going to do, that they're probably going to put together in that conference, you know, they're going to be right around the number one spot the entire season. So, really, those two teams kind of, you know, had the question marks circling around them from my vantage point.
I kind of thought sticking in the ECACHL, I thought Quinnipiac was real tough to figure. You know, here's a team that finished in first place last year in their league and won 21 games, and now we're looking at them as possibly a 12th place team in their league this year. And, you know, how do you fit that into a national picture, and how good are those guys if they won 21 games last year against a weaker schedule? But James, how about you? What looked off to you, or what do you think was tough to figure?
I think by far in the CCHA the toughest to figure is Michigan, with you know, they've been the class of the league for so long now, and, you know, if they weren't number one, they're number two. But a lot of people believe that this might be a year that, you know, that they could slip, because they lost Montoya and they lost Tambellini and they lost those 10 seniors who had the leadership, and, you know, they have the talent with Johnson and Cogliano and everything, and Sauer being a 17-year-old goalie. You just don't know how those kids are going to react. And I suppose that, you know, it is possible that they could finish, you know, out of the top 10 nationally, out of the top two in the CCHA, but, you know, with the talent that they have, you know, they probably won't fall too far, you know.
We kind of shoot around like this when we're doing the rankings and talk about teams that we like and teams we think should be ranked higher. Why don't you guys give me a name, James, maybe of a team that you think, in your opinion, should have been ranked higher than we ended up putting in our list?
Well, I guess, you know, from the CCHA perspective, I think that maybe Michigan State could be higher, and I would have thought that, you know, even before they beat North Dakota this past weekend, you know, that we have them at 16th, which is, you know, they'd be a bubble team for the NCAA tournament as they have been for the last, you know, a couple of years here. But, you know, I just get the sense that maybe now that Conley has his guys, maybe the team cohesion will be better, and you know, they don't necessarily have the senior class star power, but, you know, might be a little bit more of a team and could maybe, you know, push for a league title, something like that.
You know, the CCHA is kind of a mess, to be honest with you. You know, everybody, I put Ohio State number one in the league, and obviously they're in the top five in our poll, but honestly, I don't have a lot of confidence in Ohio State. I mean, I know that they've got a lot of guys back, and, yeah, you know, I think Dave Cruz is a pretty good goaltender, but do I have confidence to see them being a strong number one the entire year? No, but then again, I don't have confidence in any of those teams in that conference being a strong number one. I think it's going to be almost one by default.
I agree. It's almost like, you know, on paper, Ohio State is the clear-cut choice, but they haven't proved that they can do that to anybody yet. I mean, they have the strongest team, but will they put that together and actually be the strongest team at the end of the year? It's tough to say.
What about
other than Joe's league, though, what league is clear-cut at this point? I mean, that you can look around and say there are a ton of teams that look like they could have a hard time going wire-to-wire, so CCHA is probably par for the course.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Nate, but let's think back to a year ago when Minnesota Duluth was the number one team in the country. You know, it takes a month to get things sorted out. So, you know, everybody's going to be scratching their heads until at least November 1st, and then probably after Thanksgiving we'll get a better picture of what's going on. But it's awfully fun to talk about right now.
Anybody you think, Joe, that's going to pop up there by Thanksgiving?
I'm sorry?
Anybody you think that's going to pop up and be a challenging team by Thanksgiving? Just somebody that you see just something in, see a glimmer?
I can't point to one right now.
Your league doesn't start playing until Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, no. None of the Ivies. The Ivies start on the 28th and 29th of this month, so that's half the league. And then I'll get a better picture this weekend of what's going on up in the North Country with St. Lawrence, who looked awfully impressive, or at least played well. I didn't see the games, but acquitted themselves nicely out in Madison in the opening weekend. They've got two Hockey East teams coming in this weekend, so there's a team there, and Colgate really looked pretty good as well on Friday night against Mass Lowell.
You know, I'm looking at our rankings, and we've got Maine at 19, and that's probably where they belong. But as we were kind of coming up with our list the whole time, I'm thinking, you know, the damn Maine team is going to come up and bite us in the butt because everybody thinks they're not going to be very very good this year, and then they're going to play Maine hockey and claw and scratch and fight and no-name their way to, you know, a regional final or something like that.
We alluded to this in the rankings, too, that people think they're not going to be good because Jimmy Howard's gone. They're going to be fine in goal, I think. I mean, those kids will be fine, and it's a matter of whether they can score, and they tend to, over the years, they score just enough to win.
Exactly, and, you know, just looking at what happened out in Colorado, you know, Greg Moore had 3 points, which I think is a great sign. They need him to, he's kind of been, you know, he's the kind of guy that, you know, we've talked about him before, will play whatever role you put him in. If you want him on the checking line, he'll do that. If you, put him on the power play, he'll be fine. But they need him to score, and that's a good sign for that team, at least to start.
Jess, any perspectives off of this opening weekend from you and anybody that that looks like a potential surprise team?
Well, the one interesting one, and I don't know how much of a surprise team you can be having made a little bit of noise in the NCAA tournament last year, but what Bemidji State did going into Minnesota Duluth and winning twice and decisively 5-1 on Saturday night was a bit of a surprise. And if there's one team we may have underrated, to have Bemidji State sitting at 31 with what they did, I thought was pretty impressive. Now, they've got Minnesota State Mankato at home in Bemidji this coming weekend. That's another intriguing matchup. You know, Bemidji State is the one team that plays in Minnesota that's not in the WCHA, and they may feel a little bit left out. So it'll be interesting to see if they've got anything that way on their minds for their home openers against Mankato this weekend.
Jess, I'm glad you brought that up, because going back to the muddled conferences, I think that the CHA probably might take the cake, even though people, you know, don't talk about them as much. But I think there's legitimately four teams that could win that league, and it's only a 16 league. So, you know, from last year, Bemidji State and Huntsville probably came back to the pack a little bit, and Wayne State and Niagara should be a little bit better conceivably. So, I mean, those four teams, are you can pick them out of a hat, finish in any order.
And Niagara had a win over Clarkson and a 3-1 lead the following day. they almost got 4 points from Clarkson.
Yep, and then look what Air Force, who's supposed to be a bottom feeder in that league, look what they did to Union, beat them 9-2.
Exactly.
James, played well against Maine from what I heard, too.
James, with your College Hockey America background, where do you think Penn State would finish in that league this year?
I don't know. I haven't seen the Nits play, but they took it to Robert Morris the other night, I guess. So, you know, they might make a bid to finish out of the basement.
Do they wear white helmets with this one black stripe down the middle?
Their goalie actually wears a helmet just like that, so they've caught on to the Michigan trend of, hey, let's look like the football team.
And their coach is 80 years old, too.
Let's hope not too many people, two other teams, follow that football trend.
Right.
Jess, you alluded to Bemidji's weekend coming up this weekend. That was the next thing we were going to touch on, is just kind of go around the room here, so to speak, and see what everybody's looking forward to this weekend. Where could you go? Where would you go if you could go anywhere, and what will you be watching this weekend?
Well, if I could go anywhere, I think the most intriguing matchup involving a WCHA team is probably out in Colorado Springs with Ohio State playing there. I mean, there's two very highly ranked teams. That top line for Colorado College is clicking, you know, right away off the bat. I'm very interested, as Bus alluded to see how good Ohio State is. So that would be my great weekend getaway, is to be out at World Arena.
Don't feel like you have to limit yourself to the WCHA there, Jess. We know you Minnesota folks are pretty provincial, but happy to spread your wings if you feel like
it. Well, I'm talking about a team from Colorado against a team from Ohio, so you know, I'm doing what I can.
Yeah, there you go. You're splitting the difference.
What do you see, Mike?
We got BC Michigan this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Anybody going to turn down tickets with that one?
Depends on where they are.
Don't want one of those obstructed views at the O.
Exactly. Or next to the roasted almond machine. Bees flying around you for the next 2 weeks because you'll be all sticky.
We've already talked about Maine, but they have Denver coming in this weekend, which, I mean, that should be interesting to see how those two teams match up. That I suppose, would be right up there with the Ohio State series and the Austin College at Michigan that we've already mentioned, as far as national intrigue, you know, and intersectional rivalry, West versus East and everything like that.
That's a real good one. And then if you want to get into conference play, you get UMass Lowell and BU and a couple of sort of unknown teams in Hockey East there that both could challenge for the league title if they play well. But like Joe mentioned earlier, UMass, Lowell had a bit of a tough start this past weekend, and BU's really an unknown. So that could be a good game.
You know, you talk about, sorry, glad you didn't interrupt, but you talk about Denver playing at Maine. If you want to know why Denver, especially over the last two seasons, has been so good in the NCAA tournament, well, obviously they've had good players. That helps. But look at the schedule that they play, especially when it comes to non-conference opponents. They're going to Maine this year for two games. They'll play Notre Dame at home, which is, you know, Notre Dame hasn't been great, well, obviously, last year. But they'll be, I think, better under Jeff Jackson. They go to BU, they go to UMass. And then for their tournament, they'll probably end up playing Boston College. I mean, George Gwazdecki seems to be, you know, he makes a schedule challenging, and it pays off in the end. So I mean, you gotta like these matchups. They're great for fans, but you can see how they pay off in the long run. The kids get used to playing in hostile environments on the road in strange places. You know, there's a method to putting your team in these situations.
That was Mike that just called Orono strange, by the way, for any Maine fans that want to write in.
Another team that really prides itself on a tough non-conference schedule with St. Lawrence. We mentioned that they opened up at Wisconsin for two. They've got a nice crossover weekend as the Saints and Clarkson will host UMass and Providence. And then later on in the season, St. Lawrence plays Lowell, UNH, Miami, Bowling Green, and Vermont. So Joe Marsh's team has not had a lot of postseason success or even regular season success in the ECAC Hockey League in recent years, but this team is his best suited to make a run at the NCAA tournament this year, and these are the types of games that will factor in down the road. Non-conference results are important, and make them tougher for when they get those tough Friday-Saturday ECAC Hockey League weekends.
You left out RIT.
Yes, I did.
They play at RIT.
Two games at the Frank Ritter, absolutely.
How do you get Lowell and New Hampshire at home, but you got to go to RIT? Who's scheduling that?
Joe Marsh likes garbage plates.
Well, coming up over 15 minutes here, guys, why don't we just throw it around? Everybody throw in a parting shot here, a little bit of something maybe that we didn't know or an observation that you've got so far. Let's run it around the room real quick. Why don't you start, Mike?
Oh, great. I'm ready for this. you know, I think a lot of people are going to be put a lot of stock in Michigan State early, and especially given the shutout of North Dakota, and I think it's a good confidence builder for that team. But it's just the tip of the iceberg, Michigan State fans and everybody else around college hockey. You know, North Dakota in October, whatever date last Sunday was, I'm going to guess the 9th, is not going to be the same North Dakota team that they'll be on March 9th. You know, that win will look good at the end of the season when NCAA tournament teams are starting to be picked, but don't put too much stock in that win. It's a nice win, but this North Dakota team has a lot of talent, but they're not quite where they're going to be. Those young kids were just getting indoctrinated to college hockey. So take pride in it, Michigan State, but don't let it be a precursor of things to come, because you've got a lot of work left.
How about Jess? We'll go to you.
Well, interestingly enough, the most intriguing story I found in the WCHA circles this week was off the ice. In Mankato, there was a growing movement, a concern that Mankato has too many bars, if you can believe that or not. The city council in Mankato met last night. They voted on a proposed moratorium saying you couldn't build any more bars in Mankato in the next year, and they voted it down. So for folks who like to go out after games in Mankato, that's some really good news, is there may be more bars going up in the near future.
We'll keep Mankato in the mix for Frozen Fours then.
What is the Deadwood, South Dakota? I mean, geez.
James, what do you got?
I'm sorry, was that me?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
All right. I guess the two things that I would look for is, just real quick, up at Northern Michigan, they're going to be down two of their key players for Friday's game against St. Cloud. Andrew Contois, who had that strange deal with the NCAA this summer, and at first he was out of eligibility, and then he was back and anything. And so as part of that deal, he gets to play this year, but he has to sit out Friday against St. Cloud, and they're also going to be without their defenseman, Tarkir, who fought in an exhibition game against York University. So could pose a few problems against the Huskies there. And then also, down in Miami, Jeff Zadkoff, their freshman goalie, played both games with Lefty McFadden Invitational. But apparently Charlie Effinger is still in the mix down there, and they're still looking at a tandem. They just wanted to get a good look at Zadkoff in back-to-back games. So looks like even though he played both games, he's not necessarily the number one goalie for the Red Hawks yet.
Joe, let's turn to you.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it from here. Something that I'm looking forward to watching this year is emergence of second scoring lines for ECAC Hockey League teams. Most teams in this league can shut down a top line, as Vermont found out the second half of last year. St. Lawrence has been dealing with that for a couple of years. If a team can get a top line and another good supporting line, that will make them especially dangerous. And I like to see which of those players will emerge.
I was just going to throw out there's a lot of excitement around Hockey East and three new coaches at Merrimack, Providence, Northeastern. A little bit of that excitement could get tempered this weekend. Those three teams go, listen to this these trips. Merrimack goes to Bowling Green in Michigan. Providence goes to the North Country and plays St. Lawrence and Clarkson. Northeastern, two at North Dakota. So those three new coaches in Hockey East might not be so enamored, or their schools might not be so enamored at the end of this weekend, but should at least give a spark in the long run, even if all three of those teams are 0-2 after this weekend.
And the new coach at Lake Spear, Jim Rock, has Colgate coming in for a pair, and that should be interesting too.
Indeed.
Could be a long weekend. Yeah. Well, it'll be a good weekend, and we'll be watching it. We'll be bringing you the Inch podcast next week, and obviously stay tuned to Inside College Hockey for notebooks and news and everything else that you need to follow this game. And thank you guys for listening. If you have any comments or anything, send them along to inch@insidecollegehockey.com, and we'll be sure to read them. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we'll see you next time.